Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. I'm Phil Carroll, and today we're joined by Dennis Jensen, MD of Castillo Copper. Welcome onto the podcast, Dennis.
Thank you very much.
Before we go on to the recent drilling news, which obviously saw drilling hit the targeted cobalt zones and wide pegmatite intercepts at Broken Hill, do you want to tell the listeners what Castillo Copper is all about?
We are an exploration company based in Australia. We have got tenements in Queensland where primarily we're looking for copper. We have got, and we in fact have a JORC resource in Queensland. We also have tenements in a place called Kangi, which is northeastern New South Wales. So for those of your listeners that don't know Australia very well, it's not too far from Brisbane. It's just southwest of Brisbane. And that's also got a nice copper JORC resource. It's 3.35%, and there's over 100,000 tonnes of contained copper. Then we have got Broken Hill, where we have got JORC resource, a JORC cobalt resource, which has also got copper, but the copper is uneconomic. What it's basically provides us with a credit. And then we have got leases in Zambia, which we're in the process of hopefully selling. A company in the UK called Hyperion has got an option to buy.
Dennis, nice to meet you. And tell us a little bit about the JORC resources that you have, the quantities of them, and I think you were alluding to some was cobalt, maybe some was copper. Tell us a little bit about them.
Okay. At Broken Hill, first up, we have got 22,000 tonnes of contained cobalt. However, the grade at the moment is low, 318 parts per million. What we do know from historic drilling, work was conducted over a period of decades by different groups, and this was looking at the historic data. This was not our own drilling. This was data that was obtained before. So we know that there are four layers that have the cobalt, and only the top two layers are included in the resource, because the bottom two layers, we only had one hole that had the cobalt in it. There was very little deep drilling. So what we're looking for is those deeper layers, because we know, for instance, the third layer is the richest as far as the cobalt's concerned. So that will increase the grade. So what we have there, as I said, 22,000 tonnes of contained cobalt, and we have 44,000 tonnes of contained copper there. But as I said, the grade is low, so it's uneconomic, but it will be a credit.
But it is economic with the cobalt, obviously, because cobalt's...
Both of them beneficiate very well. We have had metallurgy done, and they beneficiate by around a factor of 10, which is very promising.
But I believe that there's more cobalt in the lithium ion battery than there is actual lithium itself.
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. People think lithium ion battery, they think it's only lithium. But of course, you've got a huge amount of cobalt in there. And you've also got a lot of copper in them. You've got a lot of other materials, elements that people just don't understand. Yeah, absolutely.
And the other thing about cobalt, I think we alluded to earlier, is that from an ethical point of view, 70% of it is mined in places like the DR Congo, where the child labour is used, and we've seen some of the appalling conditions that they're actually mining in. So to have it in a safe jurisdiction like Australia is quite rare, really, isn't it?
Yeah, very important, because, of course, one of the larger, Congo absolutely dominates as far as cobalt's concerned. But one of the second tier, I guess you could say, or third tier producers is Russia. And obviously that's problematic as well at the moment.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It makes it even more important that we have strategic resources like cobalt that can be easily accessed in the West. You're not going to have those same problems that you have in...
So Dennis, should we talk about the recent the drilling and what, you know... The highlights, obviously, the four drill holes for 488 metres. You've talked already about the magnetite-rich zone. So what are your sort of first impressions on those initial results?
Well, they look very promising. One of the things that came out of the drilling is that, as you said, there are pyrite layers, amphibolite, which potentially host, I can't say that they do host cobalt because we haven't had the assays done. There has been XRF, which indicates that there is cobalt. But there are also something that was unexpected. We've got magnetite-rich zones, pegmatite, which are about 14 metres thick. One of our other areas is a place called Iron Blow, which is around Broken Hill as well. And that had a sample that had rare earth elements that were assayed at about 1,280 parts per million. And that was also associated with pegmatite. So we are relatively confident that there are probably rare earths there. So as I said, this is an unexpected bonus that we weren't anticipating.
Very good. And also, what about there was a release, I think it was back in June, that talked about, and you already alluded to Hyperion, but how are things going with the copper projects and that initial option agreement where I think they paid a non-refundable $100,000 fee?
That's correct. Hyperion are actually in Zambia as we speak, doing due diligence. That's plodding away, but I'm confident that will go ahead. Then as far as other resources are concerned, in northwest Queensland, which is close to Mount Isa, I mean close in Australian context, not close in the UK context, we've got a copper resource, 1% with 22,000 tonnes of contained copper, and there are also other targets that look promising, but there needs to be a lot more work done there. So we will look at hopefully getting a JV with a larger company where they'd come on and help pay the exploration fees. But also we're in talks with a company that has a mobile plant, which fortunately the scale of our Big One deposit sits nicely in their zone for dealing with it. Obviously, the Big One deposit is not big enough to excite the major players in terms of processing and so on. But for this company that we're in talks with, that looks very promising. And the same thing goes with Kangi, which, as I said, is in northeastern New South Wales, just southwest of Brisbane. And that's 3.35% with 108,000 tonnes of contained copper. And once again, we're looking at probably the mobile processing plant there as well.
If you had to pick one asset, it's like picking one of your children, I suppose. But if you had to pick one asset that Castilla Copper has at the minute, what would it be that you would say, okay, this is our standout asset?
Potentially Broken Hill. Right at the moment, as I said, the cobalt grade's a little bit low, but I'm hopeful that these drilling results will increase that grade, and that should be a game changer for us. But the other two, Kangi and Queensland as well, particularly with that mobile plant, and as I said, we are in discussions and they're very promising. If that comes to fruition, we'll be mining copper in Queensland and Kangi in New South Wales. You know, we'll have to wait.
What sort of time scale is possible on those? I don't want you to hang your hat. Are we talking a year? Are we talking 2 years?
What are you talking about? You're talking about going there and mining?
Yes.
The problem's always the regulator. It's almost like how long's a piece of string. It's hopefully a year or two for Queensland. New South Wales will take a bit longer. The regulator, the New South Wales regime as far as mining is not quite, they're not quite as friendly towards mining as in Queensland. So the process will probably go more slowly as far as the regulator's concerned. That's always okay, the problem.
But you should get regulation. It's just a case of how long and how.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Funnily enough, when we were getting our environmental approval for drilling, you know, it always tends to happen. They thought that there was some rare bird there, endangered bird. So that held up the process, and then they found there wasn't one. But there always seems to be some endangered species that crops up that slows things down.
So in terms of what I'm just coming back to the Zambian assets, the Hyperion Copper, they're going to then list on AIM if they take this proposal. So are you going to be then a shareholder of that company?
Yes,
expect to be 25% shareholder in that company then when it lists?
Something like 25, 30%. Yeah, around 30,
I think. Very good. So this is going to add significant value, obviously, as they progress that and without really any cost for you, I presume?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, maybe some dilution as they have to raise more funds as they go along. But other than that, you're going to have a free hit at those.
We will. And the thing is, I mean, although I was born in South Africa, I mean, we are not that familiar with the whole landscape with mining in Africa. My predecessor was much more so because he had worked in Africa. But it's good to get those leases to a company that is more familiar with Africa, and it allows us to focus on our bread and butter and what we are familiar with, which is obviously Australia. And as I pointed out, there's, I won't call it an embarrassment of riches, but there's very strong promise in all three of our tenement areas as far as potential mining in the future is concerned. I mean, we've got JORC resources in each of them. As I said prior to coming on the program, we've also got the tenements that we're drilling are east of Broken Hill. We've also got tenements to the west of Broken Hill, which are relatively unexplored, but they're in very close proximity to Cobalt Blue, which is currently mining cobalt. So there's a very strong probability that there is cobalt there, and the geologists suggest that that may be an area that's ripe for rare earth discovery as well.
Yeah, and at $70,000 a ton, cobalt's worth getting, no matter how difficult it is to get. So
that's absolutely right.
Okay, well, it sounds very promising, and we look forward to following the story as we move on. You know, I think this is step one. The assays should be back within a matter of weeks, I would imagine, and we'll see where the story goes. I mean, obviously, if the amount of cobalt will increase significantly if this third and fourth layer come in as well to add to the JORC. So that's going to make quite a difference, I would imagine. How many tons again it was? Do you remind me of
22,000 tons of contained cobalt at the moment.
Okay, yeah, which is a significant amount. It might not seem like a huge amount, but when it's $70,000 a ton, it is a significant amount of money.
And I mean, the reality is that the resource will grow in the tons. What we're really wanting is, of course, the grade to go up.
Yeah, so it's more economically mineable.
Absolutely.
It's not easy to mine, and that's one of the reasons why it is $70,000 a ton, obviously. So,
well, one of the benefits we've got, I mean, both Queensland and Kangi are more difficult to access. The reason why, you asked me which one would, if I had to pick one, and I said probably Broken Hill, hoping that good drilling results are going to come in. The point there is that the access is incredibly easy. It's many of the sites are just straight off the highway, and the ground there is flat. It's not like it's mountainous. It's not like you've got difficult tracks you've got to work, although, you know, you are driving on dirt, so you're still, you know, hostage to the weather somewhat. But apart from that, you're not spending a lot of money making complicated tracks.
Yeah, and is the potential to use people's sort of production facilities that are around you in Broken Hill?
Really? Cobalt Blue would be a potential one that we'd potentially work with there, because they do have a processing facility. So given that that's less than 100 kilometres away, it seems like a bit of a no-brainer.
Yeah, not much point in building one yourself when you can ship it,
though. No, yeah.
Very good.
Dennis Jensen, MD of Castillo Copper, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.